Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at BJGeekNation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagné. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Oh, I am loving that not only are people using the PA system to end their jobs, but that people are recording this.
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm a trailblazer in this field. I used to use the PA system for a lot of fun stuff.
This is one of the few reasons why I like TikTok. It's encouraging this kind of crap.
Yeah, there's a woman. Her name is Beth. And like so many great people before her, she used the PA system to quit her job at a Walmart in Louisiana last week. And here she is explaining why.
Attention Walmart shoppers and associates, my name is Beth from Electronics. I've been working at Walmart for almost 5 years, and I can say that everyone here is overworked and underpaid. We're told that we're replaceable. This company treats their elderly associates like to Jared, our store manager, you're a pervert. Greta and Kathy, I hope you don't speak to your families the way you speak to us. Manage it and this job, I quit.
Wow.
Love Beth.
I like that she established who she was. It was great storytelling. She's like, I'm Beth. Yeah. I've been in the electronics department for the last 5 years. And now not only she understands that she's been around for a while. It's not a new employee that's just being, you know, weird or whatever. Like, she's been through it, man.
Yeah, she's been through it. Yeah.
What do you think? Jared, that pervert.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah, really. I mean, it is. Oh, retail. Do I remember it so well?
And you know this has gone viral. Do you think, is Jared in a relationship? And if so, does a significant other find out about how he's a pervert?
Oh, yeah.
And what kind of conversation? So I saw this thing on TikTok, Jared, a coworker of yours.
Dude, this is
Beth, and she's been part of the team for 5 years?
Well, think about this. It is just like Dazed and Confused, you know, because it places like Walmart where you get a lot of entry level folks, college kids, maybe even some high school kids or folks that, you know, they're younger. They keep coming in no matter how, and they leave, obviously, because they're going on to do other things besides Walmart eventually. So it's always young people coming in for that old perv manager. I've seen it so much in my career. And, you know, boy, I wish I could say that, Beth, it hasn't been going on that long, but it has. You know, pervy managers, you know, really just ogling the young new workers coming in.
And let's not get started about Greta and Kathy. I mean, the way that they treat the
Oh, well,
there.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're miserable, Greta and Kathy. Yeah, you got that, you know, Steve, you got that sort of trope, and that is the older employee that just never left. Like, they didn't, they made that retail job their life, and boy, oh boy, they can be ornery, some of those older employees. Oh, yeah.
I wonder what happened that day that led to her saying this is, did she go into work knowing she was doing this, or did it happen during, you know what I mean? Like, what's your mind like when this all goes down?
I think she knew she was going to do it because it kind of looked like she was reading off a script that she wrote.
So did she bring a script? Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I could tell her eyes were kind of moving across.
But she could have wrote that script that day.
But, I mean, there was some premeditation. It wasn't just improv. Like, I'm doing this right now out of nowhere.
Oh, I'm sure she's had conversations with coworkers about Greta, Kathy, and Jared. I mean, I think those those three have probably been a topic of discussion amongst the coworkers for a bit. But I just wonder if, like, something was said to her, and she's like, today's the day. Screw
yeah,
it. I'm doing it today.
I don't know if you've... I mean, I think we've all had this. I hope we have, where you just have that, I don't need this job, I'm out. You know, and it's such a euphoric feeling to know that I'm free of whatever, you know, the bonds that this lousy job had on me, and that you could just walk away from a real bad situation. I've had that, and it feels like she had that moment too. Like, I am free from this S.
Now, did you finish your day, or do you leave at that very moment?
I feel like when you're dropping F-bombs over the PA, Steve, I feel like that's it. You know, someone's got to, if you don't go, someone should escort you from the building.
Great. Also, don't forget our deal, 20% off our 65-inch televisions, and I'm still trying to get my commission.
Yeah. I know you'd be that guy. What do you mean I got to go home? I'm going to finish out the day. I'm a good employee. You know, even if I got to work with Greta, I'm going to still do it. I'm going to get it done.
Make them kick you out just to show just more on that. Just be like, look, I still want to work here.
I'm a good employee. Why are you trying to get rid of me?
I did try that. I remember when I went out there and had my meltdown at the radio station all those years ago. And I told the general manager when she brought me in her office, I go, look, I'm still willing to work out the 2 weeks. She's like, yeah, no. After, no, you have to go.
So good. Someone just texted and I said, did you guys see what Tom Morello said about this? He posted the video on his Instagram. So I go to Tom Morello's Instagram. And he posted the video, like the person said, and he called it the resignation speech of the year.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if she's like a Rage Against the Machine or Audio Slave fan. That would be the best.
Well, she had pink hair, I could tell. So definitely she's, you know what? She's. I think she could be someone that could be digging the cool stuff.
I do love, I found her Facebook page. Her profile picture is just her with like a filter, and it just says, just quit. So she's just definitely
making lemons out of was it?
Yeah,
lemonade out of lemons,
whatever the saying is.
Well, you and
chicken poop.
You and Mitch today are really great with these sayings.
Yeah, berries and nuts.
You ought to put out a book. There.
Cherries and butts and chicken salad.
That's what it's all about.
With poop and lemons. I think that's the saying, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, good for her. Back in electronics.
Yeah, you know something, man, I feel vindicated because I remember just how people were treated when I worked at the clothing store. And I thought, you're never going to get anybody to do anything for you. You're not paying them anything. You got to be nice to them. You got to make it fun because they're not making anything. So to be abusive, as you know, which is the other side of it all, like the complete opposite. I mean, good for Beth. I mean, I think retail can be a beating. It really, really can be. And you got to be cool to retail employees if you know, you make that because they have to put up with so much crap.
All right. So what happens? You're Beth. You do this, right? And now you're applying for new jobs. You got to get another job. And you're going for an interview and they're probably going to say, hey, what happened at your last job? You know, sometimes they ask that question during the interview process. Like, wait, why'd you decide to leave your last job? It's going to show I quit Walmart in Colorado. I was Beth in electronics for 5 years.
Yeah. Well, it's simple.
Do you tell them what happened and do you share the video?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. That is tough. I mean, that video's gone viral. Luckily, she was wearing a mask.
Yep. That's so a maybe different Beth in electronics from Colorado. Yeah.
But she posted it on her personal Facebook page.
It's a different Beth on my personal Facebook.
And it's gone. Apparently, though, she did post that she said, thank you for everyone reaching out, asking for interviews. She's kind of weeding them out to see which ones are scams and which ones are real. But she's getting interview requests.
See, Steve, you and I are from a different time. You know what I mean? You and I are from a different time. If you or I did that and somebody learned about it, because, you know, back when we were that young, we didn't have social networks to post stuff to. But if we did that, we'd want to hide that fact because nobody would want to hire us. But now people want to hire her because of this. It is such a different world.
Oh, I mean, you saw that. I definitely want to bring her in to be like, I need to hear more about this story. And then it turns out the person's cool and you realize, like, yeah, our workplace, we don't have people like, you know, what is it, Carla and Francine or whatever.
Greta. Good old
Greta and Kathy, my bad.
We don't have Greta.
We don't have a Jared either, so we're not, like, that's not an issue. I would definitely want to talk to her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, somebody that's got the guts to do something like that and also speak out a bit, you'd be, you know, people like at our job are like, hey, you could be a star. You know what? You're a straight shooter with management potential. That's what you are.
Someone says I wouldn't hire her, though.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there are a lot of people that wouldn't. But I would say this, you know, what she said and the reason she gave, I think are legitimate reasons. You know, if you've got a pervy manager and you've got other coworkers that are just miserable, I think that does contribute to somebody's, somebody's wearing. I mean, we watch all those bar rescue shows and all those restaurant rescue shows, mm-hmm. and you see some of the people that work there that have horrible attitudes, but it's because of management. Like, they're decent people and I'll want to do better, but management's just so bad. And maybe because I'm that kind of guy and maybe I did scream the halls and thanks to Hair Club, he gave me a second chance because I was as bad as Beth, you know, screaming and yelling my head off because I just didn't like the management teams I was working with. So I don't know. I mean, I think you give her a shot, Steve.
Okay.
Fine. You know what I mean?
Beth,
you know,
you're hired.
Yeah. I mean, you've got
you get to work in the electronics department here at the radio station.
Oh, there you go. I was thinking you might hire her for Boober, you know, for your own company.
I don't know if that's necessarily that I'm going to offer that invite.
Oh, really? You don't think she's the quality? You need the right kind of employee for Boober?
She was feeling that, like, okay, Jared's perverted. Hey, I have a job for you. It's the place called Boober. Yeah. Don't worry. We're not perverted. It's just our name.
Right? No, you guys, this is a professional business.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know going in as opposed to just somebody leering at you at a job that is. I mean, this is a whole. Steve, you're a professional company.
Right. We're on the up and up. We're just providing lap dances to people that you give rideshare rides to.
You're very transparent about your pervertedness.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And there's going to be no Gretas or Kathys. I mean, it's going to be Steve and Stevie.
Nobody will curse you out. I promise you that.
No, not at all.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. See, there you go. All right. We got a woman. Oh, yeah. We've got a woman that went off on someone while speaking at a funeral because that person didn't donate to her sister's funeral fund. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have the audio. You are going to hear that at 8:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. Check out this video on the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com. It's awesome. There's a woman. Her name is Jasmine. And she is yelling from the podium of her sister's funeral at one of the attendees. And here's the moment where Jasmine began berating the woman that didn't donate to her sister's funeral fund, and called that woman a fake bitch.
Fake bitch. She didn't even lie to you. You owe your money, and I didn't even see you donate to my sister's funeral, so you're automatically disqualified. You could leave the room. Yeah, bye. Bye. Don't be all surprised now.
Oh my gosh, that would have been the greatest. I mean, it's sad to be at any funeral, but that would have made that funeral the greatest funeral ever. Which is, doesn't take much, but.
You'd think the funeral's the last place, you know, where everyone's going to get along relatively okay, but man, no.
Oh, no, if you have issues with somebody and you see them there and you're grieving someone you care about, and you're like, that person even care about you, why are you even here?
Having gone through two funerals this year for my grandparents, I can tell you it brings out the worst in people.
Oh, yeah. So you saw drama, huh, Dan?
Oh, yeah, well, and not necessarily at, like...
Anyone called a fake bitch?
Probably behind the scenes. I think they called you. Yeah. No, there were physical fights.
What?
There were, it was pretty bad. So, but it wasn't actually at the funeral. It happened all before, you know, because we're classy.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. There you go.
And afterwards, then you go get dinner.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, the drinks start getting poured, and they get stiffer and stiffer, and true emotions come out. But this happened at the funeral while the lady's talking in front of everybody.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. I've seen stuff at the dinner. You're right. But at the funeral, we are just losing it. We're just totally losing it. Man.
My favorite part about all of it was the caption that she had on the video, because it's like she posted the video after she went off on that quote-unquote fake bitch, and then she wrote, "I hope I gave you the best funeral, baby sis. Fly high."
Yeah, I think baby sis was happy. You know, I mean, baby sis is like, you have my back.
That's going to probably happen more, though. Like, you're going to see people... like, look through the GoFundMes or whatever it is that, like, those websites that collect money for whatever it may be. Let's just say it's for funeral costs. I wouldn't be surprised if some people are going to be, like, you know, kind of petty and look through it to see if, like, Aunt Gladys, I don't know why her name's Gladys, but it is.
Oh, good old Aunt Gladys.
But see if she donated any money to the charity.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Here I thought it was going to be the fund to help fund the funeral, but you're right. Some people say in lieu of flowers. Oh, so they're going to go check that and get pissed. Damn.
That would be my guess.
Oh, good call, Steve, because that's, part of me thinks, well, you know what, I don't want to donate or I don't get the cash, but I'll go, I'll pay my respects. Wow, if that's the reason that she's mad that she didn't donate to like the charity fund, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that. I think
she
also
said
different.
That she owed money, and there's like it seemed like there's some beef.
Oh well, all right, she owed money to somebody for some good reason, or to like baby sis who's flying right now. You know, I mean, okay.
Now we're gonna need someone at the door at a funeral with like GoFundMe page open, and then just scrolling through and be like, oh, "What's your name, Tanya? Okay, Tanya, let me check where. Okay, good, you donated $25.
You can come in. You're fine. Yeah. You're not a fake bitch.
It's the new guest. You're not a fake bitch.
Yeah,
this is the fake bitch list.
Wow. Now, do you let people in, but they have to have the like a scarlet letter. They have to have the FB, the fake bitch. All right, you can come in, but we're going to put fake bitch right here's a little fake bitch sticker. Here you go.
With Sharpie, just FB on your forehead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Instead of I voted, it's fake bitch.
Yeah, I never saw a fist fight at a funeral.
Well, but you haven't been to Danny's. You got to go to Danny's.
Yeah. I mean, I've had my dad got into it with a guy because I told you this story before. After my grandfather died, and we're all being very emotional, this guy sat next to me and he's just like, you know, something in the line of basically saying, don't worry, your dad's going to die too at some point as well.
There
so
we go.
It's good for you to get used to this.
That's good to talk to a kid that way. I mean, it really right. is. You know, really get the kid ready with a good pep talk. It's like, oh, what's that now? My dad's dying too?
And
okay, so great.
That, of course, triggered all these waterworks to think like that. And then my dad swooped in and heard what happened. And then he's now threatening to beat the crap out of it. But nothing ever. They didn't actually throw fists.
Well, if he was wearing a Santa Claus suit, then it would have been.
He wouldn't even made it in the door, BJ.
Yeah, exactly. Because your dad and, you know, people wearing Santa Claus suits, that's when it goes down. That's when the fights happen. Ah, yeah. Well, I feel like the pandemic surely isn't helping people's mental stability. So we're seeing a lot more people quitting over PA systems, funeral call-outs, man.
All right, if you were at a funeral and you saw somebody that you felt like, okay, that the person that you guys are, you know, showing love to because they passed would have not liked that person to be there, would you say anything?
No.
Right?
No, it's so disrespectful, the whole ceremony and everything. It's like, if you want to do that, do it somewhere else, like the reception or afterwards.
Exactly, the dinner. I mean, I had somebody do that next to me, and I was the one that had to calm that person down. It was like, and now it was funny, as we were leaving the funeral, the husband of this person, because I was good friends with his wife growing up, and so he said, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you sit next to my wife? I'll sit on one side, you sit on the other. I wasn't sure why, and then as the dinner proceeded, and she was really having a hard time keeping it together, really the same reason. She was not happy with some of the people that showed up who she thought was like, you didn't care about right. this person in my life. And I realized, oh, I'm here to help, like, keep the wheels on the bus. All right. That reception dinner, that's when people have been holding it in, the first glass of alcohol, and it's like real comes out. Here's what I really think about you people in my time of grief.
Can I remember one time there was a person that died in our family, and then nobody wanted oddly enough, the guy to dress as Santa Claus, nobody wanted him to be at the wedding.
Oh,
at the wedding,
Santa.
The funeral. Right, so it was the big talk. Like, if he shows up, we're not letting him in because he hasn't been around. He kind of, you know, just kind of like disassociated himself with the entire family. But some people thought he might show back up because they're thinking he's going to want to show up because he's going to want some of the inheritance or whatever. Like, it was so much drama. And, like,
oh,
I remember
wow.
being a kid and I'm grieving, obviously, the loss of a family member. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder if Uncle Frank's going to show up. Like, because this could get pretty epic.
Yeah. And even at that young age, you like to watch epic.
Well, I mean, how do you not when there's this buildup of, like, you know, some saying I'm going to punch him right in the face if he shows up, to others just saying I'm going to just push him out of the door. Like, this was not going to go well if Uncle Frank showed up, and he didn't. But, man, there was a part of me that was just like, this could be something pretty cool.
So you say he started disconnecting from the family. Was it any time around the time when he was beaten up while dressed as Santa Claus that he decided maybe he should stay away from
the
family?
No, he was still good for a few more years after
that.
All
right. Yeah. Well, all right. So then your father's not to blame.
No, it was more of his wife. She got in the middle of everything.
Oh, what else is new?
It's not my dad's fault. Come on.
Yeah. What else is new? You know, the spouse. The spouse just gets in the way of everything.
It seems that way. Like, the one that's not, whoever's not married, is a part of the family. That does sometimes cause a rift.
Yeah, I know. It's the Yoko Ono effect. It's like, you know, you can't let Yoko ruin the family. You just can't. You got to find a way to say, look, Yoko, you know what? You stay over there, whatever.
Someone said, I've been giving crap for not attending a funeral for some people that wouldn't have liked me to be there anyway.
I get crap for not visiting the grave sites.
Why?
because the, you know, there are people that believe that you should visit the grave sites at least, you know, once a year, twice a year. And I specifically said, I don't want to think about my parents in the ground. That is not how I want to remember them. It is a very morbid site for me. I don't like grave sites. I don't believe in it. I want to be cremated. And I said, I would rather remember them like in my heart as what they were when they were alive. Because my dad had cancer. So he really looked horrific at the end. And they tried to make him look good with, you know, what they do with the open casket stuff. And he did not even look like my father. So it's like that image is what I think of when I think of him being put in the ground. I don't want to go there. It just is not pleasant. And I get a lot of crap for that. You have to honor their memory and bring flowers. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's like that within my family too. It's what you're saying reminds me a lot of like my grandfather when and that was like the weirdest thing with the open casket, and then like you could tell like they just went overboard with the makeup and just to try and make him look more healthy, you know. And it was just like, and then you have to kiss the forehead.
Feeling,
that sensation will never leave me. It was so traumatic. I will never push you know, Tatum or anyone in my family to do something like that. I was, you know, we were all pressured to do that because that's just the tradition of what you do. And then my, you know, family members would go to the grave sites too. And I never understood that. I was like, this is such a, I understand paying respect. I understand keeping the person in your thoughts. And I would always do that. But I never wanted to have to go somewhere so depressing and dark to do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, if it works for people, I get it. But man, I remember them every day in my heart, you know, and I think of like fond memories of my dad and my mom.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, the grave is not where I go there and I don't have fond memories of them. All I have is just horrific memories of both of them because it was traumatic, both of them, when they died. And I don't want to remember that.
Does anyone else have that in their families where you have to go to grave sites? Or because that was a thing. Like we had to like, there was at least a few times a year that you had to go plan to go visit this person or that person at the gravesite.
I never had, because a lot of my family members that have passed are in Mexico, so I've never been able to go see them or even go attend funerals or anything because a lot of my family's over there, so no for me.
Well, and it's weird for me because I've always I guess it says something about my personality. I enjoy going to cemeteries just because it's like I've always just thought they were like, I don't know, just an interesting storytelling perspective for me. So I've always just like liked going to like cemeteries or gravesites and stuff like that. So now,
were you partying gravesites when you were younger?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you take a girl out and go make out with her?
100%.
Wow.
And so for now, it's like now that like my family is actually there, I don't mind going. I don't like spending like a ton of time at just one, like,
well, you're probably afraid of running into your ex-girlfriends.
It's
that you
true.
All out
they're
with
all they all hang out there, and it's super weird. But no, I mean, I just, for me, it's not like necessarily I want to go and spend time at one specific grave. It's just like I like going to the cemetery in general.
Yeah.
So I know I'm weird.
No, not weird at all. It's
totally fine. Yeah, I mean, I know that people really like that, the whole nightmare, you know, the Nightmare Before Christmas vibe. But yeah, it's very macabre for me.
That seems like the beginning of a horror film, though, to go make out with somebody at a gravesite.
Yeah. Danny's usually one of the way. He's usually, he's the first to die in every one of those movies, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd probably trip on a log while he's being chased by somebody.
Yeah, that would be Danny. I don't know if you got it. Last September, one of the creators of Jelly Belly, his name is David Klein, he announced that he was retiring and said that he would be giving away a candy factory and he would do it Willy Wonka style. And it's not a Jelly Belly factory, but it's another factory that he owned in Florida. And yeah, he was going to do the whole thing the way that was done in Willy Wonka, the first movie, a treasure hunt, 50 golden tickets that were hidden in each in a different state. And then before the grand prize riddle was announced 4 months ago, that was all going to be done. And this was all finally, it came to resolution. A 39-year-old guy by the name of Andrew from Colorado, he was the winner, found the winning golden ticket buried under a bridge in Kokomo, Indiana. And he is now the proud owner of a 4,000-square-foot plant that makes sandy candy and other treats. I have never heard of
sandy candy.
Never heard of it. Don't know what that is.
Sounds kind
of
gritty.
It sounds like a Laffy Taffy. I don't know why. Yeah. But like,
yeah, I feel like it does sound gritty. I don't know.
Safe search on.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, sandy candy's a performer?
I guess.
Edible sand art?
Oh, whoa.
Okay, so.
All right, Sandy. There's Sandy, and she's got candy.
Unless it's sand.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, yeah, it looks like it's edible sand art.
I think I like the other Sandy candy. Yeah, there we go.
I gotta find that image.
Woo! So. All right, Sandy. You know what? I think, Sandy's got some candy. Good for Sandy.
It's the original sand art that you can eat.
Well, as you can imagine.
Who's buying that?
No one.
Yeah. Well, as you can imagine, though, if somebody gives you a candy factory making stuff that you never even heard of, like Sandy candy, are you going to want it?
Yeah, I'll make my own candy. I'll ditch the Sandy candy and like say, let's make actual candy.
Okay, well, a regular person, because that would involve you going to business, Steve, and actually having to really do stuff. But, you know, I'm like, what do I want this for? I mean, it seems fun in the movie, but then you got to go be a factory guy.
Yeah, you got to deal with the business part of it all. I can understand that. Well, or you can just have some fun and like just go crazy until it run into the ground.
There you go. Andrew decided, hey, maybe there's another way out of this because he's like, look, I don't want to move my family to Florida. I don't want to run this business. I just love the thrill of the hunt is what he said. That's why he participated in the contest. How about Klein, though, is going to still give him the factory, but then he's going to buy it back from him. So there's a good deal.
Nice. Dude, success story right there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got something.
So is he going to then do another contest?
He is
doing it until he finds somebody that's going to take this damn store?
I think he's tired of the process, too. He says he's going to buy it back, give it to somebody else, but there will be no elaborate contest. And we have no idea how much the buyback is going to be. I'd like to know, what this factory is worth, what he's going to get.
And the Sandy candy almost has like a pixie stick kind of vibe to it.
You can just play with it before you eat it, I guess.
Yeah, if he's willing to sell the factory, again, the dude's retiring, the guy that owns all the factories, Jelly Belly guy. I mean, how much do you think Sandy Candy's making? I mean, we never even heard of it.
Well, maybe they're going to be making a whole lot more now that everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to have
I'm not
candy
ordering
Sandy?
Some Sandy candy, no.
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, it's Pixie Sticks were not the greatest candy. I mean,
bite your tongue.
Let's not get crazy. That was pretty fun.
It was the last pure time you sugar. Had
yeah, it was just pure
yesterday.
Ridiculous.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I buy those by the case.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
From Oriental Trading.
Wow.
Online, orientaltrading.com.
And what do you just huff them?
No, you eat them like sugar.
You pour them in your mouth.
I haven't had a Pixie Stick maybe in 15 years.
God, they're the worst. I mean, especially as you grow up as an adult and realize that basically you're just inhaling sugar.
I hate Fun Dip too.
Fun Dip.
Oh, of course I do. Fun Dip sucks.
I like all these things. I just know that I probably shouldn't keep eating these things. The older you get, this is probably not good for me.
It's called
Fun
Dip.
See, I feel like you graduate, though, as an adult. You go from that candy to other cool candies, Kit Kats and Twixes and stuff.
Well, it's apples and oranges. I mean,
sugar and chocolate are different. So,
I got news for you. Apples and I will have an apple. I will have an orange. There's no way I'm going to have a Pixie Stick. Twixes. Come on.
Pixie sticks only suck though when you were sucking it down and you got the paper straw thing wet.
Yeah.
And then it would just get clumpy. Yeah.
Then it was over.
Then you had to rip it in the middle and just be like,
wow. Jeez.
All right, I gotta ask the question. Monster. How many of you actually snorted a Pixie Stick, which apparently was really in when I was in high school?
Yes.
Really?
I had some friends that did it, but I never did that myself.
That and lime salt.
Oh.
Okay. Ah. Why? What? Does that give you a high, or are you just stupid?
You're just doing it because you're stupid.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Do you remember the giant Pixie Stick?
Yeah.
That was like the size of like a lightsaber?
Yeah. It was huge.
Yeah.
No. Didn't they ban that? I think at some point, not maybe ban it, but they stopped selling it because it was just like killing people.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a weird, crazy story about the giant Pixie Sticks, and you know why people are always telling you, check your candy, because your candy might have something bad in it. It's because one guy ruined it, and he poison some kids with those giant Pixie Sticks.
Yeah.
There's a big long story about
it. That was how he did it. Oh, mm-hmm. I thought it was the razor blade and the apple that did it.
Well, yeah, he was he did it because he wanted some insurance money.
Are you serious?
He poisoned other kids for insurance money?
He got a bunch of giant Pixie Sticks, filled it with arsenic, gave it to his kids, and then some other kids ended up with it because he needed some extra candy to hand out that Halloween.
Wow.
And only one of his kids ate it, and he was trying to get the insurance money.
Yeah, this happened back in 1974.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Well, look at that guy. So I wonder how it went
for him. Probably why they don't do him, because he basically just emptied out a giant Pixie Stick and refilled it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm wondering if that had something to do with it.
Yeah, Marina Simons said there's an issue also where people were starting to snort it, thinking that was like a cool thing to do, and to the point where they had like PSAs made to tell people do not snort pixie sticks.
Yeah, oh, I wonder why they would confuse a powder that you're just going crazy for something that you want to put up your nose. I wonder why.
I love the internet because you can learn things about anything, and there's a website just about 10 facts about pixie sticks. And apparently they started off as a drink mix.
Okay. That makes sense. It's almost like Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And then they originally came with a spoon, which makes it see heads to the whole drug thing.
I'm going to stick to my Twix.
Yeah, I haven't had Twix sticks in forever. Danny, bring some in tomorrow.
I will bring some in.
Oh, God, no, Steve.
Someone said they tried smoking a pixie stick when they were younger.
Of course you did.
Well, that's America right there for you.
Says, I thought Danny doesn't even like sugar. He doesn't like dessert.
He doesn't like chocolate.
Yeah. And I hate
He's not a chocolate fan. That's the thing.
But like, you like Sour Patch Kids and Starburst and things like that,
yes,
right?
Yes, the superior candy.
And freebasing sugar, apparently, as well.
Yes. That is such a random thing, though. They go over, like, say you go over to Danny's place and you're like, hey, what kind of snacks do you have? And he's like, I have a giant tub of pixie sticks.
I'd be leaving. I'd be like, Danny, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to the house of an adult now.
It's a party favor.
Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor?
Orange, of course.
Okay.
Is it really? Aren't they all the same flavor?
No, I mean, they have sugar. Four definite flavors. Sometimes they add stuff to it, but it's grape, orange, cherry, and Maui Punch.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's still all the same flavor, but they tell you it's a different flavor. You know, I mean, with all that sugar, how would you know?
Oh, I don't want to taste like grape.
All right. I'd like some grape sugar, please.
I'll take a grape pixie stick.
Okay. Well, you know what? You guys, congratulations. I'll take a Twix.
Right.
Bring one of those in, too, for me, Danny. Thanks.
So it says I get pixie sticks at the dollar store. Yum.
Yum. Oh, man. Okay. Wow. On Friday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Amy Wong and Philip J. Fry are characters from what animated sitcom?
Bluey.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. Cleveland show.
No.
Coco Melon.
That's not a guess. I'm going to go with Family Guy.
Yeah, sorry, Steve. It was Futurama. Mm-hmm. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We'll play Beat Migs at 850 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. How long is a bankruptcy going to affect my credit rating?
Of course, most of the time, by the time we're talking about filing a bankruptcy, the credit has already taken a huge hit. Chapter 7 is going to affect it more negatively than Chapter 13. Chapter 7 stays on your credit report for 10 years from the time you file. It usually takes 7 or 8 years for your credit scores to get back into the normal range in a Chapter 7 case. However, your credit will start to recover even in Chapter 7 after about a year. You'll be able to get credit again right away, usually before your case is even over. Chapter 13 stays on your credit report for 7 years and usually takes about 3 to 3.5 years for your credit to get back in the normal range. So Chapter 13 will mean your credit gets better much more rapidly.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.